If we have not met, I'm Pastor Mike Ramsdale. We're in a series of skeptics wrestling with our doubt, talking about that really in a journey together. We began talking a lot about doubt and wrestling with it and faith and how to find faith and why often we find ourselves wondering about the world we live in, the God, is there a God? Very basic questions. We've been journeying to a place where we can talk about how we would share faith, communicate faith to others and how we might do that, whether we are in the very beginning stages of our own journey to Christ or have really fleshed that out a lot in our life. It's how we're going to communicate that, and so we're talking about that today. But I want to begin by making a special announcement about next weekend. Next weekend is what we call Pentecost Sunday. If you don't know about that, that's in the Bible, the book of Acts, and it really is the birthday of the church. Christ had come, been crucified, raised from the dead. He told the disciples to go wait in Jerusalem, which they did for 40 days. At the end of 40 days, the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. 120 men and women burst forth into the street around Jerusalem, sharing the glories of God. And 3,000 people really became a part of the church family that very first day. That number is recorded there, and most were baptized. And so we're going to celebrate that next week in a very special way. First, I'd love to have 3,000 people in church that weekend. We average about 2,500 in worship. 3,000 would be great, so come. Bring somebody with you. Help us achieve that 3,000 goal. You're invited to wear red if you'd like. Red's the color of Pentecost, and I'll try to find a red shirt to wear. If you don't have one, that's fine. But if you do, wear red. I'll mark it that way as well. It's a special day for the life of the church. We're also, in befitting Pentecost Sunday, where 3,000 were baptized, we're going to offer special moments for baptism for those who've not been baptized yet. At the end of every service that weekend, there'll be a time we'll offer baptism as we normally do it, a sprinkling, here at the altar, or at the end of the service in the prayer room right through those doors. We'll offer both opportunities in every service that you attend. There's also going to be two times that our church baptizes by sprinkling or immersion, either or. I've immersed many people in my ministry, do it all the time. And we're going to have a baptismal tank that's going to be available in the atrium. It's a portable one we're bringing in. So if you'd like to be immersed, we're going to do that at 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon or 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. And our pastors will be here to do that for you. We're excited about that. So those are all they are. Or if you know someone who's been waiting for that, hey, now's the time. Next week, Pentecost weekend, and we hope it'll be a great celebration for our church family. And we'll truly celebrate not just the birth of the church, but the ongoing life of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's an exciting time for our church. Well, we're talking about, again, wrestling with our doubt. And today, I'm using a Bible that I don't preach from very often, if ever. And you may have noticed that it's pink. And why is Pastor Mike, does he have a pink Bible today? This is my mother's Bible. And so befitting Mother's Day, she'd be pleased if I was preaching from it. So that's one reason that I'm doing it. I'll say more about that in a while. But at the beginning of her Bible, she records how she got it. Now, my mom had maybe 70 or 80 Bibles. She was a Bible collector. But here's one of hers. Winona B. Ramsdale, with money from the Barnhart Cowboy Church and the Big Lake First Methodist. She was a lay speaker and went around preaching in her neighbor small churches in her area. So I'm in her own church. She's preached for me in the past when she was still living and younger. And so we marked that. And so she got some money, evidently, and bought a Bible with it and preached at a cowboy church, which I've never done. And Big Lake Methodist Church, I've never preached there either, by the way. And if you've ever been to Big Lake, there's no Big Lake there, but the town is there. Now, to introduce the message, my mother could talk. And she wouldn't mind me saying this, I don't think. You know, she's gone on to heaven, so if she's in heaven, I'm sure anything I do is okay, because I'm her son, she loves me, and, you know, that's how it works. But anyway, she could talk. I mean, talk. Carry on a conversation all by herself. You know those folks like that. I spent time going to Israel, and on my first trip, she went with me, along with many others, and she sat next to me on the plane, 11, 12-hour flight. Can you talk for 12 hours? Yes, you can. And throughout my relationship with my mother, she would occasionally say, Mike, you always interrupt me when I'm talking. And I would say, if I didn't interrupt you, I'd never get to say anything. So I have to every once in a while. You know, I hope I didn't hurt her feelings, but that's part of our journey together. And we're talking about talking today. You know, when you look at the Bible closely, you discover what it is. Simply about communication. It's a conversation about God, a conversation about humanity, us, and a conversation about the relationship. It's one of the most honest books you'll ever read. And I promise you it's the most honest religious book you will ever read, because it's all here. Humanity and all our warts, and God and all His amazing wonder, and how we connect together. And that's what this is about today. It's about that kind of conversation. Now I'm going to read part of the Bible for you here, John chapter 9, verse 13 through 16, and verse 24 through 25. Very simple story, and I'll give you a setting for this, that Jesus is early on in His ministry, and He's working lots of miracles. It's creating chaos and hubbub in the world He's living in. And here's some of the results of that. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was Sabbath. Now to make sense of that is, earlier Jesus had come to a man who had been blind for many years. In that small world, everybody knew that he was blind. Everybody knew who he was. It was a begging world, an alms-giving world, so they would see him various places asking for financial help. And Jesus did a very odd miracle. They told him, I'm going to put mud in your eyes, now go wash this mud away, and when you do that, you'll be healed. And he was. And he once was blind, now he could see. Now the Pharisees are somewhat upset about this because Jesus did it on the Sabbath. He broke the law. They didn't like him anyway. They were already angry at Jesus, wanted to reject him. They did not want to believe he was the Messiah, so hence the conversation. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud in my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? So they were divided. Now verse 24 and 25. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, not to Jesus, in other words. We know this man's a sinner. The man replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Hear what he says. There's no theology here, no doctrine, no long faith communication, no quote from Romans chapter 5 or 8, or no quote from the Old Testament, just, hey, I was blind, and Jesus is the one who made me see. So John 9:25b is the key text for today. One thing I do know, the blind man says, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So we're journeying to how we can share faith for the world we live in, whatever level of faith we have, how we communicate that, and that's what the Bible is about, communicating God, us, and the relationship, and that extended to you and me. That's where we're going today. A few years ago, I had the privilege of sharing with a funeral with a World War II veteran. I've been doing that many more and more as the years have gone by, and it's always an honor to do that. Usually families know in detail the story of the father, grandfather, great-grandfather, as this was the case. But this family knew little about his story. He simply hadn't talked about it, hadn't shared it, hadn't communicated it. It was one part of his life he'd kept separate and secret from his family. So we journeyed together in our conversation to discover more about him. And here's what we discovered. Not only was he a World War II veteran, he was also the winner of many ribbons, and had served in North Africa fighting in a tank corps against Rommel in World War II, the very beginning of the war. For those who know World War II history, that's an amazing story, to be part of that very early on in the war to fight the desert fox called Rommel in North Africa. They didn't know anything about that. That was a mystery to them. Now, what does that mean? Somehow he'd never shared that. We don't know why. Maybe he just really didn't want to talk about it. It was his past. I don't want to deal with that anymore. Maybe he just was a secretive kind of guy. Maybe he thought I'd be boasting or bragging. I don't want that. But for whatever reason, his own reasons, he never talked about it. Now what does that mean? That means that his family had unfortunately, for lots of reasons, an incomplete relationship with their father and grandfather. It was incomplete because they didn't know the fullness of his life. It was significant. Part of his journey, they were completely unaware of. It was unknown. It was incomplete. And that's simply an illustration of what I want to talk about today. even though it's an important reality we have to hear and understand as we think about communication and relationships and my first point today. It's not sharing your faith, it's sharing your life. It's not sharing your faith, it's sharing your life. Because most of us think we'd have no idea how we can share faith. We don't know how to do it. We have this sense that I'm not confident to be able to do that. I don't know the Bible well enough. You know, I'm nervous about being able to do it. I'm unsure of the right scripture verses to name or to quote. I don't know how to verbalize my theology or my doctrine, or maybe I'll do it wrong, you know, I won't do it right and I'll mess things up, you know. So I'll leave that to preachers, you know, or I'll leave that to the television or leave that to the internet. Somebody else will take care of that. And we often feel that way about sharing faith. Maybe we ought to. Sharing faith is hard to do. How do we verbalize it? I do it every week and I fret every time I get up here that I do it correctly and right the way that I should. But it's not about that. It's sharing your life. Everybody can do that. It's just sharing my life. And so I bought part of my life here in the simplicity of my mother's Bible. If you're new to our church, I have an identical twin brother. And here, my mom wrote in the story of our birth. I didn't see this Bible till after she passed away, and I got it because I got all her Bibles. That's what my mom and dad had to go through the house and pick stuff. And that was already decided, and I'd picked the Bibles. So I got about 50 Bibles. This is the only pink one that she had. I'm an identical twin brother. And so the first name here is Stephen Kenneth Ramsdell, which is my twin brother. And he's first. He was always first because he's the oldest. You know, it seemed unfair to me, still does, but his name is first. He was born 1953, March 17th. I knew that date. 12:30 a.m. Another few minutes, and we might have been born on 2 days. Shannon Hospital, San Angelo, Texas. Now, my name is next, Michael Edward, which I got, as many may know here today, that they'd already picked out Stephen Kenneth, named after my grandfather. That name was already selected, so I was a surprise. They didn't know I was going to be born. I was there until I came out. You know, I was an absolute flabbergasting surprise to my mother and father. They had to think of a name real quick, and so I got Michael Edward, you know. So I got, hey, this is what we got left. Born 12:41 a.m. is when I was born, also Shannon Hospital. Now here's part of this story. My dad was in the Air Force. We could have been free if we were born at the military hospital. My mother said, no way. Dr. White is delivering my kids. He delivered me 27 years before at the same hospital. And so $300 is what we cost. Should have been about $35 or $40, but since we were twins and stayed in the hospital a long time, my brother had some health issues, it was very expensive. I don't know what that would be equal to today, but it was a ton of money. My dad had to pony up for our birth. And that's our story. And all I can do is tell you that's it. That's my story. But that's not all, though. That's just the story of my birth. Now, I had another birth as well. That was when I was 20 years old. And when I engaged Christ in a personal way and invited Christ in my heart. That's simple. That's all I did. Now, that's my story. It's not yours, probably. But that's mine. That's my life. That's how I share my life with you. I cannot share my life with you without mentioning I've got a twin brother. Hey, that's how it works. And I cannot share my life with you without mentioning that when I was 20, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and it changed my life. That's not sharing faith. That's not quoting scripture. That's not trying to persuade anybody to do anything. That's simply sharing my life in friendship, communication, honesty, openness. That's who I am. And when we understand that, it helps us know how we can communicate faith as well in our own life, our own communication. So here's what we're doing when we do that, share our life this way. We are telling the truth about who you are, my second point, evens the playing field for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're like me, you might think, now, why doesn't God just use angels to share the good news of Christ with the world? You know, get a 10-foot angel, you know, have the big wings out there and the white robe. Everybody's going to believe that angel for sure, you know. Why do I have to do that? You know, why is it my call? Well, mine's not to question that. That's how God has chosen to do that. He's chosen to partner with humanity that he has touched our life to share that same good news with others' lives yet to be touched by the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we commit to share life in the world we live in, we give the Holy Spirit a chance to do what the Holy Spirit here is here to do. And to honor God and to bring faith into people's lives, save souls, all the things the Spirit's about doing. And so I have to cooperate, I have to partner, I have to allow the Spirit to partner with me. And when I do that, again, I even the playing field, and often we just don't do that. We're not willing to tell the story, communicate our faith. We're unwilling to share that. And often we don't do that because we think we're not good enough, smart enough, or Christian enough. You know, I'm just not Christian enough, you know. I still sin every once in a while, or I know the Bible well enough, you know, or I've got all these flaws and messes up in my own life. How in the world am I going to ever be able to help someone else experience God's love? I still know how to do it. Well, how do I do it? You know, well, there's lots of ways to understand it, and here's how I want you to understand it today. I love the where the Bible says God's strength or His strength is perfected in our weakness. So hear that. The second illustration is the one that was taught in the Bible as well, that we have this treasure, God's grace, God's love, God's salvation, in earthen vessels. If you actually interpret that literally, it is cracked pots. That we have God's treasure of love and grace in cracked pots. And everybody's cracked, so they don't want to see anything but that because that's who we all are together, and that's how we can connect. And when you think about the Bible listing the fruits of the Spirit, we learn as much from the ones that are not mentioned as from the ones that are. Now, the ones that are, you probably know, love, joy, peace, patience, fruits of the Spirit. But here are things that are not listed as fruits of the Spirit. Well, perfection is not a fruit of the Spirit. Did you know that? It's not. A word that I've made up. Mistakelessness. You know, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. You know, we don't see in the Bible that this sense that we have to be perfect or don't make mistakes. We only have to be human, which is what we are, right? We only have to be human people, human beings who've experienced God's love and grace in our life. And that's how we get through life and make it work. When we understand that sense of what life is and sharing life, the more we're able to simply open up and tell the truth to people around us. Oh yeah, I fought in World War II and I fought against Rommel and I've got a bunch of rivets back there you've probably never seen. And my journey includes this amazing story of not only history, but defending this country. And I know you didn't know that in our entire life. And so you really didn't know me. You know, you didn't know me fully. You know, do people know us? Know who we really are. We got a chance this weekend to host a Chick-fil-A leader cast. Some of you were here at that event. We did it as an In the City for the City project to serve our community. Business leaders, city leaders, school leaders, whoever would come, and church leaders were here at that event. We listened to a lot of speakers in this simulcast, very famous folks that you would know many of them. Jack Welch was one of those. The coach at Duke, Coach K, was one of those. John Maxwell, Andy Stanley, these were speakers that were part of that. And also Condoleezza Rice. Now, Condoleezza Rice, you probably know who that is, but if you don't, she was a Secretary of State for a number of years under President George Bush, the second George Bush. She also is a concert pianist. How many knew that Condoleezza Rice was a concert pianist? Some of you did. Well, she was and still does. Concert piano. She thought she was going to be a concert pianist before she was Secretary of State. You know, that was her fallback position. Well, I'm not good enough to be a concert pianist, so I'm going to be Secretary of State. That was her second choice. You know, and that maybe not really, but that's how I'm phrasing it today. She also now is a Stanford professor and teaches school there. And if you did not know, Pastor Caesar, who's often here, his daughter just got a full scholarship to Stanford. We'll be going there in the fall. So that's pretty special. So you can applaud. That's pretty neat, I think, if that's the case. You know, one of these graduates with magna cum laude and summa cum laude. And if you're like me, you graduated thank you a lot. But there's different ways to do that. That's how that worked. That's my brother's joke, but I'm sharing with you because we graduated the same way. But when she did her interview there in the Chick-fil-A leader cast, she basically said, in a number of ways, I can't tell this story without talking about my faith. I can't do it. Because they asked her a question. They said, tell us about 9/11. What happened that day when you discovered that it was a terrorist attack at 9/11? And she described some of the details that all of us have described, described how she felt during that time, described her sense of a prayer, looking to God to help. You know, she said, I can't tell it without that. You know, I'm a person of faith and I've got to do it. And so she does. You know, she completes the story. It's not just I saw a plane crash and I made a phone call and we were all scared and what was going to happen, you know. And, you know, it wasn't, it was all, her faith was intertwined in the whole story. She also tells a story. The only time she raised her voice to the President of the United States was that day. She called him on the phone to update him. He was there, you know, doing a talk in a school. And she called him to update him and said about what had happened and that it had gone to be a very significant terrorist attack. And he said, well, I'm going to come back to Washington. I got to come back. She said, no, you're not. You're going to go someplace safe. And I think he said, yes, ma'am, or something like that at that point. So you hear that story. But what I'm trying to tell you is that her faith, her life was shared, and she couldn't share any other. If she didn't share that, it wasn't her. Now, when we communicate, and she inspired everybody here by adding that truth, you know, telling that story. I'll tell you more about that in a while. Now, how do we do that? I'm amazed sometimes how many children, and I mean children who are 12, 20, 40, and 60, know nothing about their parents' life of faith. They know nothing about it. They think that my mom or my parents are Christian. They go to church. They have a Bible. You know, but they don't know it because that part of life has never been offered to the kids. And sometimes they're afraid to do it or don't know how to do it. You know, it's a matter of saying, you know, I need God to get by in my life. You know, that's just telling who I am. I will tell you, I need God to get by in my life. I promise you I need that. You know, saying something like, you know, Jesus is in my heart. Jesus saved me. That's important to me. You know, and that openness about who we are changes relationships. It changes how our kids see us. Whether our child is brand new like this or 13 like the front row here or our kid is older. I've got one that's 30, going to be 37, you know, and two others that are younger than her. I get through life every day because God helps me do it. I don't think, and sometimes I think kids think that parents somehow are just above them. They live in some ethereal place beyond their own humanity. That our kids are all human, however old they are, they know that, but the parents, they must not be. They make decisions and they overcome problems and they handle finances and they get through grief and crisis and they deal with these projects. I don't know how they do it. They're just better than me. They're just smarter. I wish I could be like them. And if they know who we really are, they say, well, I want you to be like me. I'm someone who's able to do that because Jesus is in my heart. Because I prayed before I did that meeting. Because I prayed when I dealt with that cause and that need. I can't get by without it. Simply being honest with our life. And building complete relationships with those we care about. And the more we do that, the more the playing field is evened out. And the Holy Spirit can work. I've often thought the worst thing that could ever happen was for someone to be raised by a perfect parent. Because those kids aren't perfect and that would be awful. But sometimes parents let kids think that maybe we are perfect. When we know we're not. We know we survive by God's help and God's grace. We know that our faith is integrated in every part of our life. And if we don't have that part of our story, then we're not being honest with who we are. I was blind, but now I see. Was lost, but now I'm found. I survive because God is in my life, and that's how I have and will and do survive. Well, I want to make a transition now to a second piece of this message. The world we live in is very complicated today, I think, especially when it comes to people of faith. You know, I think that Condoleezza Rice almost wanted to apologize for talking about her faith. You know, she said, I just have to, you know, because she knows that sometimes it creates tension to do that. Did you know that? You know, you put faith out there, it can create tension in the world we live in for lots of reasons. Well, I want to make this point now. There should be a tension between the church and the world. God works in this place of tension. Our task is not to eliminate the tension, but to offer Christ. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, I want to tell you a second biblical story. You've heard the one. And did you notice the tension in the story? There was tension here. You see that. You know, the miracles work. The man can see. And now he's brought before the people. There's a lot of tension because of what Jesus has done and how it interacts with the world that Jesus lives in. Now, some years later, we have two of the followers of Jesus, Peter and John. This is after Pentecost. And Peter and John go to a place called the Gate Called Beautiful, which is right by the temple. And there's a man who'd been laying there for many years. He'd come, people would bring him, and he was crippled for, I think, 18 years. And he would be there to beg for alms, which was very common in that day. And Peter and John walk by, and Peter says these words. You may have heard them before. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, which he did. Now, that created another ruckus. Jesus had been crucified. He was gone. They didn't worry about him anymore, but now they got to worry about him again because he's still working miracles, and he's dead as far as the Pharisees and Sadducees were concerned. And so they bring James and John, and they bring this crippled man to them, and they talk to them. And the same thing happens. The guy says, hey, I couldn't walk, but now I can. That's my story. Live with it. I mean, I can't be anything but honest about what happened. But they tell Peter and John, okay, work all the miracles you want. I'm paraphrasing roughly what went on there. Work all the miracles you want, but don't do it in Jesus' name anymore. Stop that. I mean, you can do it however you want, but don't mention Jesus. And what is their response? Hey, that's who we are. Again, paraphrasing. This is who we are. We can't share our life with the world we live in without Jesus being a part of it. And so they refused and continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that place of tension, the good news of Christ exploded into the Roman world in remarkable ways. Tension's okay. If somehow we live in a culture where it says our goal is to, or should be, or must be, reducing tension. We have to eliminate the tension. We have to get rid of the tension between Christians or the church or our beliefs and the secular world or unbelieving world or political world or whatever that world is. We think we're supposed to do that. We think this, now, if we think that, we didn't hear that in the Bible. Let's listen to the secular voice tell us what we should do instead of listening to God's Spirit telling us what we should do. So we have to really get a hold of that in our own life and our own experience. We're not going to reduce tension by simply buying into the values and morals and faithlessness of the culture we live in. That's not our task. Our task instead is to be faithful in our living, consistent in our witness, honest in our story, the most important part today, I think, and loving in our relationships. That's our task. And tension will exist if we do that. It will be part of that journey, but it's okay. That's where God works, where the Holy Spirit works, where someone recognizes their circumstance. And may in that recognition say, maybe there's more. This person gets by because they have faith in God. I'm not getting by so well. This person got through this problem that was this huge problem because they prayed. Maybe I need to check out prayer. This person's life that was so broken was changed because Jesus entered their heart. Maybe I ought to think about that. And that's tension when that happens, even if however they respond. And that's the call of the church. The simple message here today is, I was blind, but now I see. So as we communicate faith, hear those words, please. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the words you give us today. So many of us, God, were blind, but now we see. May you take what you've done in our lives and multiply it in the world around us. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm putting my Bible down because I just saw the clock. And so I'm going to move. For some reason, I haven't looked at it today. Normally, I do. Maybe because it's Mother's Day. I don't know. Maybe I'm like my mom. I just keep on talking and we don't have to worry about time. So that's the way she was. If you'd like to join our church family today, you can. Professing faith in our Savior or by transfer. We'll talk about baptism, of course, next weekend. Love to have you be a part of that if you choose to do so. If you're a guest, we're thrilled you're here. Hope you've been blessed by the service. If you answered yes to either one of those first questions I asked, go to Guest Central there in the atrium. Give you a packet for our guests. Welcome into membership for those who want to join our church. And if you have any other needs for prayer, to be prayed for today or looking for resources, they're available at Care Connection. And Pastor Sharon will be back there to serve you in that way. Would you please stand?